This is Evan Mobley from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to Kenny and JT on 1480 WHBC.
Holy Mobley!
Regular season in the rearview mirror. Cavaliers finish 48-34. Good for the number four seed in the Eastern Conference. They will play host to the Orlando Magic on Saturday afternoon in Game 1. According to ESPN Analytics, they have a 68% chance of winning that Game 1. Let's talk some Cavs playoffs right now with the radio voice of your Cleveland Cavaliers. Follow him on Twitter at Cavs Alcorn. He is Tim Alcorn. How are you, Tootsie?
Hello, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're good. Great to hear from you. And, Tim, not a pretty ending to the season, but the Cavaliers elected to rest their guys to keep them healthy. And that fourth quarter was interesting, but I think they ended up right where they wanted to end up based on who they play in the first round of the playoffs. Tim, just your thoughts on all of that.
Yeah, I think I got a bad cold, guys, so bear with me. But, yeah, I think when you look at the regular season, 48-34, there was no guarantee or projected win number that they wanted to get to. They want to get back to the postseason. They stated flat out, hey, we want to win a first-round series. So here we go. Let's get it started on Saturday with the Magic.
Tim, that game Friday night against the Pacers, that first quarter might have been the best they've looked, maybe, definitely since the All-Star break, but was that the best quarter of basketball you've seen from the Cavaliers since way before the All-Star break?
Yeah. Well, it's hard to argue with the first half that they had against the Clippers when they put 80 on the board in Los Angeles.
That's right.
And 40 in each quarter. But, yes, to your point, it was an outstanding first quarter. And, guys, what really got me about Friday night, the fact that Indiana kept coming. They kept making a push. They got close, and the Cavs staved them off. And that's been an issue throughout the year, the ability to close out games.
Really was like a playoff game, wasn't it?
Yes, very much so. The intensity, the way the guys were going at it, the shortened bench, very much like a playoff game. That was a huge game for both teams.
Tim Alcorn, our guest, radio voice of your Cleveland Cavaliers. We don't know the time yet, but we do know the day. It will be Saturday in Cleveland, Game 1 between the Cavs and the Orlando Magic. And Tim, I want to go back to the last couple of games and what you saw from either the Joe Tate perch, wherever you watched these games. I don't know if he played. No, he didn't play on the road. Donovan Mitchell, how has he looked in the last couple of games, even though he sat out the game Sunday against Charlotte?
He's looked like pre-All-Star Donovan Mitchell. Now, he'd be the first to tell you he's not back at 100%, but he had explosiveness. He took it to the rim. There were things where he wasn't just settling for a mid-range jump shot. He looked to be like the Donovan of old. So you couple that with the fact that he didn't play yesterday. Mm-hmm. He now has a week to get ready for Saturday. I don't know if he'll ever get back to 100% this year. It's just a cranky knee right now, but he's as close as he's been in a long time.
I think he took a shot Friday night too. It looked like he was limping around in that second half. I'm like, oh, please, not now. You know, if ever there was a time to get injured, this isn't it. And Tim, one of the notes that I had written down was, has there been a Dean Wade sighting? Do we know anything about his knee injury?
No more than what JB has been sharing, and that has been limited during his pregame press conferences and the like. Dean's knee flared up, and obviously he has not been able to return. So I know he was asked before the game on Friday night, will we see Dean tonight or Sunday? He said no, and then they asked him about the postseason, and JB said, listen, that's up to the medical people. So to me, again, just reading between the lines and reading what JB was saying there, I wouldn't say that's a positive prognosis. So, but we'll see. The injury report will come out later this week, but that's going to be a key piece if he's not going that we'll be missing for the Cavaliers.
Luckily for the Cavaliers, they went out, right? They had a George Niang in the offseason. They go get a veteran pain in the ass player in Marcus Morris, right, during the season for this time of the year, right? I mean, this is where those guys, their experience, Tim, and, you know, their physicality, if you will, are supposed to really pay dividends in whatever role those guys have for the Cavs, isn't it?
Yes. Listen, last year at this time, everybody's excited about the Knicks series. It was a 4-5 matchup just like this year, but everybody thought the Cavs had a pretty decent shot at that, knowing it would be a difficult series. And they got their doors blown off. So the Cavaliers, I think to their credit, made the moves during the offseason to say, hey, here's what we need to address. Here's what that Knicks series showed us. You talked about Niang. They went out and made the sign and trade for Max Strus, a guy like Marcus Morris. You bring that savviness. You bring that playoff mentality to the basketball team. And so, yeah, I think, and Orlando's a physical team. They're going to need that kind of toughness out there against the Magic. And so they made some good moves, and now we'll see if it pays dividends in this first round.
Yeah, Cavaliers, like I said, according to ESPN Analytics, a 68% chance to win Game 1 in this series. And how important is Game 1 based on what happened last year, Tim, right, with the Knicks playing all season for home court advantage, and you don't want to give that away to the Magic, do you, in Game 1? So how important is this?
Game 1's huge. As you said, Kenny, we saw it last year. You surrendered home court, and you never got it back, and you want to put a young team like Orlando in a hole. They're in the scenario that the Cavs were in last year. First trip, young players, young coach with Jamal Mosley. So they have not been through this before. And as painful as it was, the Cavs gained that valuable experience of going through it last year. And so Saturday's game, as you said, whenever it tips off, the start of that game will be huge. Deliver the first shot, throw the first punch, get Orlando on their heels, and then, yeah, get out of there with a win and put them in that hole where now game two really feels like a must win for them. And as a young team, to have that pressure on them in game two would be big. So, yeah, a game one win would be monumental.
Tim, this is a weird season, isn't it? I mean, when you consider the fact that all the injuries they had to the starting five, but yet seemed to play better when they didn't have all the guys healthy, how did they play enough games to really get comfortable with their, I guess what they call it, their suggested or whatever it is, their normal starting five? I mean, have these guys played enough really to be at a point where they like or feeling comfortable playing alongside each other now?
Yeah, I mean, JT, it's a great question. The suggested five, as you said, or maybe projected five, they only played as a five, starting five, 28 times. Now, they went 18-10, so the percentage is there that, yeah, these guys, when they're starting and then the bench becomes a Coro, LeVert, Niang, and the like, that bodes well. But did they have enough time to develop that chemistry? We're going to find out. I think that's why it was important those last couple of games, even before Sunday, let those guys play together and figure some things out. And so I think they've had enough games to develop at least a knowledge of what they want to do. And JB's system, it isn't all that complicated. And the first thing is defense. So at that aspect of it, I think they'll be ready to go on Saturday.
See, well, let's go back to Media Day when we were hanging out with you guys at the Cavs, and we looked at this schedule, and we talked to J.B. Bickerstaff, and he told us that it was going to be a different style of play. I don't think they ever had the opportunity, because of all the injuries, to get up and down the way he said they would be. But it seems as though, like you mentioned, that Clippers game, you score 80 points in the first half. You back it up with another 60-plus first half against the Pacers. Do you expect this team to play with a little bit more urgency now?
Well, it's certainly going to be playing with urgency. Postseason basketball, it's not every game that matters. It's every possession.
Okay.
And you guys have seen this over the years. It becomes possession by possession basketball. So there will be a sense of urgency. And again, flipping the coin, Orlando hasn't experienced that, where the Cavaliers have had that experience. But, yeah, I think there will be a sense of urgency. I don't know I don't know, JT, if you're going to see that up-tempo game, because, okay, again, history tells us that when you get to the playoffs, the game slows down.
Okay.
You're not going to see 120, 130 points a game. Now, the NBA game has changed somewhat, but that being said, it still becomes that possession-by-possession slog as you get to playoff basketball. So there will be a sense of urgency. I don't have any doubt about that, and I think it will start on Saturday. They want to get out of the chute very quickly, and they want to jump on this young Magic team.
Tim Alcorn is our guest, radio voice of your Cavaliers. You heard him all season long right here on WHBC. You'll hear him throughout the playoffs as well. And Tim, four games in the regular season, and they split with the Magic, 2-2. What do you remember most about those games that, if you're going to take anything forward into this series from those games, it's what?
Physicality. Orlando read the scouting report of the Cavaliers coming into the year, and certainly as the season unfolded, knock these guys around, get physical with them, and they've got size that can do that. With the Wagner brothers and Banchero, he's an outstanding talent, but he'll mix it up out there. So they want to get physical with the Cavs, and so the Cavaliers will need to respond to that. They did. In the two wins that they got, in the two wins that Orlando was able to get, they shoved the Cavaliers around a little bit. So I think this is going to be a physical half-court type of series. And if the Cavaliers learned anything from last year and addressed their needs, which I think they did, I think they'll respond to that. But Orlando's not going to back down. They've got physical guys, and they're going to push the Cavaliers around, or at least try to do that.
I'm looking at an ESPN report right now, Timmy. You know me. I'm like you. I like to do deep dives, preparation, get as much info as I can before commenting or doing a game, and I know you're doing the same for Saturday. And how about this? In the Cavalier, two wins over the Magic this year. Donovan Mitchell averaged 30 points a game, shot 49% from the field, 44% from three-point range, also dished out 9.5 assists and 5 rebounds. In the two wins by Orlando, he sat out a game. And then the other game, he was only 6 of 18 for 22 points. So they're saying this team will go as far as Donovan Mitchell takes them. Do you agree with ESPN's assessment?
Yes. And you talk about a deep dive. And believe me, I'll dig into all those stats as you just have as we get ready for game one. But to your point, Kenny, or more so ESPN, I do think the Cavs will go as far as Donovan Mitchell's level of play will take them. And that's not to take anything away from Jared or DT or Max Strus, but Donovan Mitchell is the guy. And he didn't perform to his level in that first-round loss to the Knicks last year, and it hurt him. To be more blunt, it pissed him off. And so I think we're going to see a Donovan Mitchell come out in this series against Orlando with a bit of a chip on his shoulder. He took a lot of heat after that loss to the Knicks in the first round last year. So if Donovan Mitchell plays to the level that he's capable of playing, or to those numbers that you just alluded to in the two wins over Orlando, I think the Cavs will move on to the second round.
Yeah, I was very surprised at how poorly he played last year, right? Wasn't shocked by DG's performance because he's not physical. Wasn't shocked by Evan Mobley's performance. First time in the playoffs, he's not physical. But Mitchell had been there before, and for the second straight year, Jalen Brunson knocked him out of the playoffs. And to me, that was the most disappointing thing about last year, and I'm glad you're saying that he's pissed off about that, and hopefully he will rise to the occasion this year and provide them enough to win this series, whether it's 4, 5, 6, or 7 games. Timmy, you realize if they win this series, it's the first playoff series win without LeBron James since 1998 when Sean Kemp led them to the playoffs?
I am aware of that. And you know what? I think they're aware of that. You know, last year when they made the playoffs, there was a sense of we've moved beyond LeBron. And I think that was valid. I think that's justified. But they want to win a playoff series without that young man from Akron. They're aware of it, and they've built this team, and they've constructed this roster to a point where they think they can win. That's why last year was so disappointing. But to Kobe's credit, They said, listen, here's why the Knicks beat us. We need to address this. And they did. And I also think the guys that are coming back from last year, like Donovan, like Jared, even Isaac Okoro, who has worked so hard at his game, I think those guys took that loss to heart. It bothered them. They've been waiting for this Saturday to arrive. So now's the time for them to step up.
Tim, what's a preferred rotation? I mean, you mentioned the fact that they scaled it back a little bit in the Indiana game, went about eight deep. If Sam Merrill's healthy, do you think we see him Saturday?
Boy, that's a great question, JT. You're probably wishing you were talking to JB more than me.
Well,
JB has said he thinks he can go nine, maybe even 10, depending upon the opponent. Mm-hmm. And depending upon the matchup. Now, to your point, normally in postseason basketball, you see that rotation get down to about eight, maybe nine. But, boy, Sam Merrill is a weapon when he's shooting the ball well. We talk about how the playoff game becomes a half-court game. If you can free him up for some three balls, and again, going back to last year's Knicks series, I hate to keep doing that,
but it
couldn't knock down a three.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Knicks kept collapsing and collapsing the defense further. Well, you put Merrill out there, and if he can knock down some threes, that's going to loosen that defense up. So I would think if the Cavaliers aren't hitting long balls and they need somebody to deliver, JB's going to put Sam out there.
I'd love to see that, and especially with the addition of Max Strus this season, no more ISO ball, because if I have to watch Caris LeVert dribble out the shot clock again or Darius Garland, I don't know that I'll be able to make it through a couple of games in this playoff. I mean, when they zip the ball around, Tim, that offense really, it works.
Hey, Timmy, let me warn my partner. Let me warn my partner about this. You'll see that for three quarters, right, Timmy? And then what happens in the fourth quarter, Tim?
Well, Donovan gets the basketball, and Donovan controls the offense, and they put the ball in his hands. You know, there's a clip that they run in the Cavs open where I go, it's Donovan time, and that's what happens. He's your closer. So, you know, listen, DG and LeVert, they're going to have to do what they do, but in the end, and this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the Cavs will go as far as Donovan Mitchell's play will take them.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I expect in game one, at least, and then adjustments from that. I expect your starting five to play. I expect LeVert to be the first one off the bench, Okoro off the bench, and Niang. And after that, I don't know if we'll see anybody else unless it's absolutely necessary in game one, because we don't know what Wade's status is. Marcus Morris is a guy that they can fall back on if they need some defense or hard fouls or whatever, and a veteran, and Tristan Thompson to, you know, if one of the two bigs gets into foul trouble. I expect to see eight, Timmy, and only eight in that first game, whether Merrill's healthy or not, because of his inexperience in the importance of game one.
I would agree with you as to the first three off the bench. I think you're dead on that. I think it will be LeVert, Okoro, Niang. And then after that, as JB said, it could depend on a matchup. It could depend on a situation. But to your point, Kenny, I would agree. You've got your starting five, Garland, Mitchell, Strus, along with Mobley and Allen. And then those three that you alluded to, they're going to be the first three off the bench. Situations will dictate after that.
Yeah. Tim Alcorn is our guest, radio voice of the Cavaliers. Timmy, what should our listeners to you and viewers of the game as well watch out for as far as Orlando goes?
Well, I mentioned earlier their physicality. They're going to knock people around, and usually at the NBA playoff level, they're going to let a few more things go. So that's one thing. Keep an eye on just how physical is Orlando playing this game. And the other thing would be just the nerve level, the yips, as our friend Joe Tate used to say with Orlando. How much will you see some nerves early on from them, some turnovers or, you know, some bad shots going up early, as you can see the tension build with postseason basketball. But listen, this is a young, talented team. They have been on the rise. Just last year, they won 34 games. They are 47 this year. They're going to be a team to be reckoned with in the Eastern Conference. So, you know, they've got guys, like I said, Banchero, along with the Wagner brothers, Jalen Suggs. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Isaac is an outstanding defender. So this is going to be a challenge in the first round.
How do we match up against Jalen Suggs? Isn't he like 6'5"?
Yeah, he's an outstanding player. Mm-hmm. And he's another one of those guys that once Orlando decided, listen, the whole Vucevic thing isn't going to work. We're going to restructure this team. He was one of the, you know, the draft guys that they brought in to build around, along with Banchero and Wagner. And so he's a young player, but yeah, he's very, very talented. And he's kind of the core group that Orlando has put together.
Now, I've got to ask you about this because I'm looking at it on Wikipedia right now, the pronunciation of this Paolo guy.
Timmy, huh? Tell him.
Well, I've been told it once in a while on a dunk, I'll say pow. So it's Paolo Banchero.
All right. Now, here's the other thing I've heard. I heard the bon is actually bang. Caro, so it's Paolo Banchero.
This is a huge problem, Timmy, because if you call him Paolo, we're going to think somebody just dunked for the Cavaliers every time you say his name.
No, I'll be definitive on my calls, guys. Don't worry about that. I'll let you know when it's the Magic scoring and when it's the Cavs scoring.
And how about this? I think if you can work in he whacked him one time whenever Marcus Morris comes in, because that's what he's known for. Give me a little, he whacked him good down in the low post when Morris comes in, because that's what they brought him here for, Timmy.
Have I ever let you guys down?
Nope.
Never.
Nope.
Not one time.
Nope.
Aside from the fact there was not one dunk over in Paris, so I couldn't say, have I ever let you down?
No.
You are correct, so we'll be listening and enjoying every single word that comes out of your mouth on all of the playoff calls for this Cavaliers team.
You want to save us a seat over there at that Joe Tate perch? We had a great time, by the way.
You guys were very entertained, and you seemed like you were really enjoying that night.
We had a blast.
It was a great time. And those seats,
Timmy,
wanted it there.
I've been all over Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, and I've never been in a seat like that. That was it was phenomenal. And to our listeners out there, too, anytime there's a chance to get those seats, because those are contest seats, right, Tim?
Yes. Well, we've used those for contest seats. We've used those for charity auctions. And, of course, you know, when the best pick and roll combo in Canton says they want to sit there, somehow that manages to take place as well.
Yeah, we carry a little weight there. Not much, but every once in a while, a blind squirrel finds an acorn, right? So there you go. Hey, Timmy, get well. You've got the rest of the week not to do any interviews, so save the voice for Saturday. We'll find out when that game is, and then we'll be listening here on WHBC to your call, all right?
Guys, let's hope we're chatting a lot in the next couple of months here. Let's hope it's an extended run, but as always, appreciate you giving me a call. Sorry for the Kermit the Frog voice here, but we'll be ready to go on Saturday.
Go get yourself some of that emergency, man. It does wonders.
I'll take anything at this point, JT.
My advice is tequila, Timmy. That'll help. And if it doesn't help your throat, it'll at least make you sleep better.
There you go. I may take you up on that.